And now sitting in for Dana Rodriguez, your moderator, Laurie Fisher.
Thank you, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you've had a lovely Sunday. We had a beautiful day today, and I think we're going to have a great show tonight. Dana's taking a little home time for himself. So hi, Dana and Greg. Hope you're doing well. And I'm joined by Jerry Horowitz, Aunt Jeremy Horowitz, and Kara Pace. So welcome. As you know, Minds Over Matter is an audience participation show, and we're trying to get as much participation as we can. So I'll give you the phone numbers now. Get in early. There's plenty of time to get in now, and we'll get to you soon. Numbers are 415-841-4134. Once again, 415-841-4134, and the other number, toll-free, is 866-798-8255. Once again, that's 866-798-8255. We're an audience participation show, and we're looking for questions and answers about history, film, news, literature, music, geography, cryptography, technical editing. Perhaps we'll sneak in a couple sports questions and pop music since Dana is away and can't chastise us for that. We're always like it when we can do that. We do have an email address, and it's mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So mindsovermatter, spell it all out, and then put the numeral 1@gmail.com. And as you know, because you're a regular listener, we don't answer the emails during the show, but we get to them during the week. Mostly Dana does. And you can listen at 91.7, which you're doing now. It's KALW.org. And as you know, we're a podcast. So if you have to take off during the middle of the show or just listen to it during the middle of the week or 3 years from now, Debbie will have it up pretty soon. And you can listen whenever you want. Gather the family together. You can listen with your family, and you'll know all the answers if you listen tonight. It's just a little extra way to get a little bonus in there. So I think we're ready to go. We'll start out with a round of introductions, then a round of questions, and then a round of you calling in. First one, 2020 may be the year that Kara Pace finally learns the Greek alphabet. Thanks, yeah. Climate change.
Yeah. We're getting there. Before this hurricane season, I thought the print symbol was part of it, but now I know. It goes at least to iota. So Jeremy Horowitz believed in stopping the count when it was just his petition to recast Sesame Street.
Our moderator, Laurie Fisher, has not been to the KALW offices since March, and he is not nervous at all. Not a bit. He's happy to report that the studio is gleamingly sanitized, the staff of one is perfectly socially distanced, and his hazmat suit is perfectly tailored. He's never been this safe.
I never have. I feel great about it. I'm encased in plastic, and we're ready to go.
The suit looks great.
It does. Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's a fashion statement.
It suits you. Yeah.
Thank you very much for that. Anyway, we'll start out with a round of questions, and Kara, you are first.
All right. I have a lead-in question. I'm going to do my list first. So I have a lead-in question for it and then a list. So my lead-in question is what was the working title of the movie Snakes on a Plane? What was the working title of the movie Snakes on a Plane?
I actually do not know this.
I was going to turn to Jeremy and said, this is just the kind of question you know.
It was Snakes on a Plane.
That is correct. The working title of Snakes on a Plane.
Actually.
It was Snakes on a Plane. It was meant to just be the working title, but Samuel L. Jackson said that he would do the movie as long as they kept that as the movie's title. So it wasn't intended to be the final title of the movie, but it was, and we're all luckier for it. Anyway, so that leads into my list question, which is this. Sometimes working titles are used to disguise a movie's actual name while it's being made and shipped. So I'm going to give you some working titles. I want you to tell me the major motion picture it was used to disguise. And these are all major movies. These all actually have at least been nominated for one Oscar, not always Best Picture, although there are some Best Picture nominees and winners in here. I'm going to give you a list of nine. I'm going to read through them quickly, and then I will read through them again and give you a little bit of additional information on them to help you answer. Right. So here are the nine.
I'll take Blue Harvest.
That's not in there, but I'm going to read my list now. Star Beast is the first one, Star Beast. Paradox, Incident on 57th Street, Changing Seasons, How the Solar System Was Won, A Boy's Life, Planet Ice, Rory's First Kiss, and Project 880. So those are the nine. So I'm going to go back through them one more time. Starbeast is the first. That has an Oscar, although not for Best Picture. The second one, sorry, is keyboard noise. Paradox has an Oscar nomination. Incident on 57th Street. That is the only one on here that was not nominated for an Oscar, but it does have a BAFTA. It has several, actually. Changing Seasons, that has several Oscars, including one for Best Picture. How the Solar System Was Won has an Oscar, not for Best Picture, though. It had other nominations. A Boy's Life, that has four Oscars and several other nominations, including a nomination for Best Picture. Planet Ice, that has a lot of Oscars and one nomination. I'm sorry, that's a Best Picture winner. Rory's First Kiss, that has a couple of Oscars. And Project 880 has three Oscars and six more nominations. So I'll give you each two.
All right. Well, I learned Star Beast was the title of Alien about 2 hours ago.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And also correct, so that's worth a bell.
You were studying. And, you were studying for tonight?
Apparently I was. Yeah, who knew? Nice. And then A Boy's Life, which I believe appears on a marquee in Back to the Future, referencing producer Steven Spielberg, would be E.T., the extraterrestrial.
That is also correct. So Star Beast is Alien. A Boy's Life is E.T., the extraterrestrial. Laura, you want to take a crack at any of these?
I do want to take a crack, but I don't know any. So, Jeremy, you want one or two more?
You can have one more then.
One more.
All right. I'll take Project 880. I hear that's a really high-grossing film from James Cameron.
Is that
Avatar 7 or maybe just Avatar, the original one?
It is Avatar.
All right.
Nominated for Best Picture, lost Zero Dark Thirty.
Which one was that one?
Hurt Locker. Project 880 was Avatar.
And Debbie's guessing, is Rory's First Kiss 16 Candles, perchance?
It's not. Yeah. That is a very nice guess.
It is.
It is incorrect, sadly.
So why don't you give us the ones that are out there, and we'll turn them over to the audience in a minute. What's left over?
Okay, so what's left over is Paradox, Incident on 57th Street, Changing Seasons, How the Solar System Was Won, Planet Ice, and Rory's First Kiss.
Very nice.
I just realized something clever I could have done, but I did not. Oh, well.
Well, you can do it later if you want.
We'll see. I bet the audience will do it before I do. Hopefully.
Okay, Jeremy, you're up.
Hi. Buran, that's written as B-U-R-A-N in English, at least, is a Russian word meaning roughly snowstorm. It is the name of something used by the Soviet Union exactly once, 32 years ago today. My question for you is, what is the American analog of Buran?
Is the 32 years a clue that will get us closer?
Not much.
Okay.
Good question. Yeah. I mean, you'd be really surprised if this happened 100 years ago.
Debbie asks if it's NORAD?
It is not. It is not their equivalent of NORAD. No Santa Claus involved in this at all.
Kira?
No, I was busy doing the math, so I've already taken us back to November 1988.
That help?
I don't know. I don't currently have a guess to this, so I will. I'll keep thinking.
Is the answer something political or something that would be we headed in the right direction, or is it more technological?
I wouldn't primarily consider it political. No. I mean, everything's political between the U.S. and Soviet Union in 1988, right. but not really.
Okay. So give us the question again.
Sure. Buran is a Russian word, roughly meaning snowstorm. It is also the name of something used by the Soviet Union exactly once, 32 years ago today. What is the American analog of Buran?
Is it the first Soviet McFlurry?
It is not a beverage. I will rule all beverages out for you. Assuming McFlurry counts as a beverage, I'm not even sure what class that is.
Yeah. Might not even be a food.
It's not a food or drink. Yeah, there you go.
It's not nourishment. All right. Well, very good. All right. So we have some questions out there, and let's go to the phones now. Let's take our first call. Hi, you are on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Ed, I'm good. How are you doing?
Very good. Well, with this horrible situation we're going through, not only deal with this terrible virus, but to deal with the total unacceptable situation with Donald Trump. I am very sad and I'm very frightened for everybody. Really am. Very. Just emailed my son Adam, worrying about him, his family, everybody. Anyway, so my first question about viruses. What is the difference between a virus and a bacterium?
Well,
one's alive.
Say it again.
Jeremy?
What Kira said. One is alive.
I think we were saying that at the same time, but yes. Yeah.
Biological term, what would a bacterium have that the virus does not have?
Life.
Respiration.
Very good. Actually, a nuclei.
A nucleus?
Okay. Yeah, it's how bacteria divide. A nucleus divide into, become two bacterium. Viruses can't. According to biology, they're dead. They're just a molecule. DNA or RNA molecule. And the way they divide or multiply, they have to attack a life cell, human, animals, whatever, plants, even plants. And then they hijack the cell mechanism and make copies themselves. And they make copies in the thousands. And what's special about the virus, it is extremely contagious, also extremely active. So like influenza, you would need 1,000 bacteria, viruses. With this one, you need only a couple. If you're walking behind somebody who has it, you most likely will get it. Okay, I hope everybody stay well, stay safe with that. Second question, where would you find the oldest synagogue in the world? Jewish synagogue, of course.
How about Cairo?
Cairo, it is.
No.
not only that, it exists, and it has in two names, Ben Ezra Synagogue in Cairo, established in the year 288, 882 AD, and the Arabic word for it is El Geniza Synagogue in Cairo. Still exists. All right, there's also beautiful Greek synagogue was rebuilt in Alexandria. I forgot the name of that one.
Thank you.
Where would you find the oldest Christian monastery or church? The oldest.
So I'm guessing it's not Vatican City?
No, not at all, by far not.
How about Cairo?
Yes,
not in
somewhere in Egypt.
What does it say in Egypt? What is the name of it? Let me give you the name. It is St. Anthony Monastery. It is a beautiful, everybody should go visit, as well as St. Catherine Monastery. Let's just, everybody, please stay safe, stay well, and let's see if we can beat that virus. As you know, Alameda County, Contra Costa, San Francisco, everybody locking back down. I think we should lock down for a few weeks to get this thing out of the way, because it's very, very deadly.
It is.
Thank you,
Ed.
Very, very good day.
Thank you so much. Take care. Take care of yourself, too. Next caller, hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia.
Hey, Fred, how you doing?
I would say Academy Award winner that was named Planet Ice, maybe Titanic.
That is a very good guess, and it also happens to be true. That is correct.
Correct?
That Titanic was codenamed Planet Ice.
Very good.
Planet Ice. Okay. Now, Lori was last week was kind of trashing West Virginia to only be the second highest percentage of Trump voters.
I wasn't trashing
Wyoming.
It. I was stating it as a fact.
It's a fact. Okay. So since 1952, there's been 18 elections. How many of them have been West Virginia blue and California red?
You mean at the same time?
Yes. A Democrat won in West Virginia and a Republican won in California.
So California, Nixon won in 72 and Reagan won in 80 and 84.
Is that one of them?
We got Nixon twice. 1968, Nixon, Humphrey, West Virginia. 1960, Nixon, California, Kennedy, West Virginia. There's
pretty
two
sure
so
Kennedy
far.
Wasn't running in 72. But anyway.
So how many more do we have? Do we need?
Well, that's the question. How many are there?
Jeremy,
there are four.
No.
All right, great.
There are three.
Cairo.
Cairo. The answer is six times. I'll give it to you six times. Because I have one more question about San Francisco. It has 28 districts. I read this, 28 districts. Four of them had over 20% for Trump. San Francisco was 12%. What four districts of
I can tell you that. That's the Sunset did.
Is that one of them?
19%. There's four that had over 20%. Sunset was 19, I believe.
The Outer Sunset was not one of them? Because one of the three major focal points for Trump voters is like Kintara and 40th.
I have Sunset 19%, Inner Sunset 7%.
Okay.
Kira, go ahead.
Yeah, up in Marina District had a lot.
Marina District, no, that was 11%.
Okay.
I'm
striking out because I looked at a map and those were the strongest.
Where are you located now? Where are you now?
We're in the ground. Thanks. Portola Hill, right? No, Portola.
Exactly.
Portola. Really?
Portola was 20%.
Wow.
Which I'm worried because my daughter lives in Portola District. I need three more. What can I do?
Is Pacific Heights?
Pacific Heights, no.
Okay.
Pacific Heights. I don't have on my list for some reason.
Jeremy, you have a guess?
Well, something near the Outer Sunset is all I'm going to say.
Lake Merced or something. Sure. Lake Merced is south.
Lake Merced. Yeah.
Nice.
We got two. Portola, Lake Merced. Lake Merced, Portola. I need two more. I think
what are all the letters in the answers? Near the airport, you say?
I think they're kind of near the airport in the southern part of San Francisco.
Is it South San Francisco? Does that count?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not.
I mean, Excelsior, not Excelsior. I mean,
exactly,
Bayview.
Excelsior. I'll give you
Excelsior.
20%. So we got one more.
There was Kira and Debbie.
The highest at 23%.
Is it Hunter's Point? I've heard that a couple of times.
No.
Bayview. I'm just curious what the answer is at this point.
It's a valley.
I don't think it's Noe Valley. I don't think it's Hayes Valley.
No, not Noe.
Debbie
Valley.
Says Visitation Valley?
Visitation Valley.
Very
nice.
Good.
Thank you.
Oh, that's good.
That was like pulling teeth. No, not easy. And, of course, Haight-Ashbury was the lowest percentage.
No surprise Trump. There. Thank you, Fred.
30%. All right. Bye-bye.
Have a good time in West Virginia. Okay. I have a question here. I just saw a list, that Gallup poll of the most admired Americans, and perhaps no surprise, Obama, Biden, and Trump are all on the list. And so I went to look historically. The list started in 1948. So my question is this. I want you to leave all presidents and first ladies off the list. I want to know which names, which women and which men have appeared on the list of the most Americans the most times since 1948. It started from 1948 until now. Okay. So, and all of them have appeared, this is sort of a hint, 20 times or more. Six women, four men. I'll give you three or four each before we turn it over to the audience. So once again, I'm looking for the people who have appeared the most on Gallup's list of the most admired Americans. And mostly the lists are presidents and first ladies, so I'm eliminating all those. Six women and four men. Give each two guesses to start.
So no presidents and first ladies, but other political figures are okay.
Possibly, yes. In fact, that would be a good way to go.
When you said the most time, they've all been on the list at least 20 times. Is that correct?
Well, two of them have been on 18 times, but I count that as close to 20. So 18 or more each. Six women and four men.
Yeah, I got nothing much. Billy Graham.
Billy Graham is first on the list. He's been on 61 times. Very
Woo!
Good.
All right.
That's a good start. Keep thinking.
Yeah, let's go religious. Fred Rogers.
Fred Rogers is not on the list. He's not in the
top. That list is wrong.
Well, he might not have made it. He might have made it 19 times. He'd be on my
list. Talk to those Gallup people.
He'd be on my list, but he's not on the list.
Amen.
Keep thinking.
I don't know. It's hard.
Well, we'll leave it out there. Kira, do you have any?
No. I was actually going to go with Billy Graham, oddly enough.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a bell for that.
Are there any other religions? Should I be guessing Benny Hinn and the like?
You should. There are two more religious figures on the list.
Sure. Jerry Falwell.
Not Jerry Falwell.
What about Benny Hinn?
Benny Hinn, no.
Okay. Oh, who's Baker?
No. And one thing I'll say.
The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh,
no.
Good.
I would think he's on there. Well, maybe he didn't live long enough, right?
Yeah.
It's only living people. I'll say this as a hint in case it's not implied. They aren't. This is a list of who Americans admire, but they're not necessarily Americans.
Oh, okay.
So that should
interesting.
Broaden the field a little bit.
Sure.
Queen Elizabeth
II. Margaret Thatcher.
Okay. You just got first and second on the women's list. Queen Elizabeth II has appeared 51 times. Margaret Thatcher, 34 times. I'll give you two bells for that. Those are the two top women. So I'll leave it out there for the audience to get. I'm looking for, since 1948, the Gallup poll of the most admired Americans, who has been on the top 10 list the most. Looking for six women. Now I'm looking for four of them. Queen Elizabeth and Margaret Thatcher have been taken. Billy Graham is gone from the men's list. I'm looking for three more men. Anybody got one more quick guess?
No, but admired by Americans, not most admired Americans, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
That's very good. Okay.
Charles de Gaulle.
Charles de Gaulle's not on the list at all.
He's didn't live long enough and not even close to 20. Yeah. Everything was wrong with that.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to the phones. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
Good evening. It's Spark.
Hey, Sparky, where are you?
Hey, we're here in Connecticut. Maddie's here with me, too. It's
Hi,
pretty
both
nice
of you.
Out here, although it's kind of raining like crazy.
Well, good to hear from you. How you doing?
We're doing fine. Great. Hope you're all doing, too. And we'll have you know, we've been listening to you for the last couple of weeks since we've been out here.
Thank you. That's great. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you. All right, Kira, incident on 57th Street, is that West Side Story?
It is not.
Oh.
But as a reminder, that's the only one without any Oscar nominations.
Yeah.
That is, however, a BAFTA. It's won some BAFTAs, so that should be a
hint. Okay.
I bet it's British.
How about A Hard Day's Night? But I doubt it.
It is not.
It is not. Okay, admired Americans. How about Charles Lindbergh?
Not on the list. Go ahead.
How about Walter Cronkite?
No.
Ooh, that's good.
Also did not make it 20 years or more.
Okay, I'm going one more. Albert Einstein.
Not on the list. Also not. Maybe didn't.
That's
live
a good
longer.
Guess, too.
Not sure. Great guess.
Well, that's all right. We'll try again and... We'll keep on calling once we get through and all that stuff. But it's great to hear you all again, too.
It is. Take care of yourself. Very
good.
Okay. All right.
Good night. We're done. Bye-bye.
Good night. Kira, how about a question from you?
Yeah. I'm going to give you a pair of questions. They're pretty opposite, I'd say. We'll say highbrow, lowbrow. So my highbrow question is this. Who was the first science fiction author to win a MacArthur Genius Grant?
Ooh.
So who was the first science fiction author to win a MacArthur Genius Grant? And while you think about that, I will ask the other question, which is, what is the first and currently only movie to win a Razzie Award in every single category? So looking for the first science fiction author to win a MacArthur Genius Grant and the first and currently only movie to win a Razzie in every category.
So I'm guessing the author who won the Genius Grant is not L. Ron Hubbard.
It is not.
But I feel like I have a good guess for the Razzie one, and I'm going to go with L. Ron Hubbard's Battlefield Earth.
That is incorrect. It did not win every category.
What? Oh, no.
How about Ishtar for the Razzies?
And Ishtar is not the Razzie Award or the Razzie winner with the most awards.
Would it be unfair?
Oh, no.
Go ahead, Lori. Would it be unfair for you to give us the year of the MacArthur science fiction winner?
I would have to look that up.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't actually write that down. That would have been a good thing to note.
Okay.
Did this film win Worst Actor and Worst Actress? Did it win a whole bunch of acting awards way more than it should have? Most films could? Is it Jack and Jill?
It is Jack and Jill, yes.
Very nice.
Yes, and Jack and Jill is the first movie in Razzie history to win absolutely every category. Adam Sandler won both Worst Actor and Worst Actress, which I think is what Jeremy was getting at there. Sandler won both of them. Yes.
Is the science fiction author a woman?
It is a woman, yes.
Jemison.
Is it Ursula Le Guin?
Neither of those is correct.
Okay.
Butler.
It is Octavia Butler.
Oh, it is. That person. Right. Very nice. Very good. All right. Very good. Thank you for that. All right, Jeremy, how about a question for you, and we'll go back to the phones.
Sure. I got this one from a puzzle wizard, Adam Aronson. Actually, he's one of the people behind beyondwordplay.com, who has a bunch of fun free puzzles that I think listeners might enjoy, but we'll find out. The question he asked me was, what's the only U.S. state that borders the same number of states as it has letters in its name?
Missouri?
It is. There you go. In 0 seconds. I'm not sure I even finished asking the question.
Oh, I thought Missouri you did. Sorry.
No. You didn't. Perfectly. Missouri has 8 letters, 8 neighbors, and we're done. No other state has that property, strangely enough.
That is very cool. All right. Very good. Anyway, let's go back to the phones here. Let me give you the numbers in case you need to write them down. It's 415-841-4134 is one of the numbers, and the other is 866-798-8255. We do have people on the line, and hello, you're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
Hello. Glad you're back to states. And I'm going to be done with these capitals because when I did the research, it's just overwhelming my mind. Oh, by the way, is it Eleanor Roosevelt?
No, surprisingly.
She's not on the list.
Yeah, she didn't.
Well, she's a first lady, so she didn't.
She's a first lady, and she probably didn't make it for 20 years, even when she was out alive. Yeah, sorry.
Okay, put your thinking caps on. Ready? Which state capital contains the postal abbreviation of its state in its last two letters?
Albany, New York.
You got it.
Boy, that was quick. Very good.
And, now, which two states' capitals contain the name of the state in its name?
Oklahoma City.
Indianapolis.
And Oklahoma City.
Did you get it? You cheated. Right.
Yes,
Oklahoma City is easy. What was the other one you said?
Indianapolis. Started with a hard one.
Yeah. Indianapolis, which is the Greek for city. All right, now it gets a little trickier. Which capitals owe their existence or are very heavily connected with a railroad? Which capitals are strongly associated with a railroad? In fact, their founding is basic. Huh?
Go ahead, sorry.
Their founding was kind of very strongly connected with a railroad, not a river, as opposed to, you know, this city was here because it's close to a bay or, you know, these are cities that owe their existence to their connection to a railroad.
Well, Baltimore predates the railroad, although I want to be it.
And Baltimore was on the bay.
Sure, absolutely, Chesapeake.
In Baltimore.
Well, I'm assuming that the answer is going to be somewhere in the middle of the country, would it not be?
Right.
And Baltimore's not a state capital, right?
There's also that
also
severe
that.
Problem with
right.
Is it fair
Lincoln,
to
Lincoln,
say
Lincoln, Nebraska? I don't know.
That'll be effective for 3 of the 4.
Oh, this is a multi-answer question. Okay.
Well, there's four. One is an outlier because it's on the East Coast.
So we got Lincoln. We need 3 more.
No, it's not Lincoln.
Oh, I thought you
there's
said
no
it was.
Lincoln Railroad.
Oh. Okay. I'm hearing silence from my panel.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was going to say I know all 50 capitals, but I did just start with Baltimore, so maybe I don't.
You know what? Caller, how about you leave it with Debbie, the board operator, and we'll have people call in on it. Could you repeat the question so we're clear on it?
Which state capitals owe their existence? Their founding is strongly based on their proximity to a railroad. Let me give you one, because this is the outlier. But anyone, Atlanta.
Okay.
Atlanta is the Northern and Atlantic rail line.
Okay.
And the other three, if you want to, and I'll leave this open now, are, yes, out west.
Okay. So we'll put you on hold and give the answers to Debbie, and people will call in on them, and Debbie, you'll monitor those and see if people get them correct.
Okay, great.
Very good. Thank you so much for your call. Very good.
Let's
take another call. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, good. This is Fran. Hi.
Hi, Fran.
Good. I want to know Nobel's first name and what he discovered.
He discovered dynamite, and his name was Alfred, I think.
Yes.
It is indeed.
You got it.
Thank you.
Now that I want to ask you, what does Las Vegas mean in English?
The Meadows.
Yes, who knew that?
Jeremy knew that.
I think all three of us probably knew that.
Wow, I didn't know.
I'm sure you did.
You know it now. I mean,
I heard it on the radio.
Sure.
Let's try this one. Who won this year's Latino Heritage Award?
As given out by whom?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I'm going to say Rita Moreno.
No.
She gets all the awards and she's
Is it somebody in show business or more?
Yes.
Okay.
More music.
More music.
Jennifer Lopez?
No.
Older or younger than Jennifer Lopez?
Older.
Ooh. Okay. Gloria Estefan?
No, she's older than that.
Charo. Oh. Debbie says Charo. Good.
Who?
Charo?
No.
Older than Charo, huh?
I doubt it. No.
Give us a hint.
She basically doesn't sing in Spanish or anything. She sings very American music, but she also sings
Linda
in
Ronstadt.
Spanish.
Oh, you got
Linda Ronstadt.
Yes, who said that?
Jeremy.
All right, that's... My last one is a trick question. Who said, I'm Chevy Chase and you're not?
Chevy Chase.
Cornelius Frain Chase.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks, Fran.
Bye.
All right, we're a little past half the show, and so why don't we go over questions we don't have the answer to. Kira.
All right. So I am looking, or I've got some working titles of major motion pictures, and I just want to know what movies they were disguising. So the working titles I have are Paradox, Incident on 57th Street, Changing Seasons, How the Solar System Was Won, and Rory's First Kiss. Those five are still left.
Okay, Jeremy.
Buran is a Russian word roughly meaning snowstorm. It is also the name of something used by the Soviet Union exactly once, 32 years ago today. My question for you is, what is the American analog of Buran? And I'll give you a little hint that some of its predecessors include Voskhod, Almaz, and Salyut.
Okay. My question is, in the Gallup poll for the 10 most admired people by Americans over the last 72 years, I want to know who's been on the list the most. I'm looking, we already have Queen Elizabeth and Margaret Thatcher. I'm looking for four more women and three more men. Billy Graham topped the list for 61 years. I'm looking for three more, and I've eliminated presidents and first ladies. So that's what we have out there. Anybody got
a question? I have a quick question for Jeremy. Is this space related?
It very much is, yes.
Okay.
Almost entirely corrected.
Is it a space shuttle?
It is their version of the space shuttle. The answer to the question is space shuttle. There you go. Looks
very nice.
Really suspiciously almost exactly like our space shuttle. So it flew exactly once unmanned, and then of course the Soviet Union fell apart, and there you go. They got like 95% done with thinking another one, and they're like, we're done.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to ask a shortish question and then get back to the phones here. So I don't know when it came into being that states became red and blue, okay? And I actually looked it up. It had kind of a complicated history, and it was kind of settled, the designation that blue would be Democrat and red would be Republican in 2000, and it was done simultaneously by a well-known broadcaster on TV and a graphic artist in the New York Times. So I want to know who the broadcaster on the TV was who decided that would be it. And I want to know, the graphic artist isn't famous, but he did not decide for political reasons. He decided kind of for a graphic reason. So I'm looking for how it came to be that we now know red and blue states as we know them.
The TV show is, it's like the Today Show or something. It's some... I don't know the exact person.
It was a show like that, and a very well-known commentator who has since passed away. That might help a little bit. Very influential. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, the non-political reason why the designation was made is kind of interesting. And I'll leave it out there unless you get it.
It wouldn't be Regis, would it?
It's not Regis.
Okay.
Somebody much more political.
Yeah.
A political commentator.
All but right. A daytime political commentator.
I think he was more, I think he did evening news and maybe had a weekend show that was maybe more like Meet the Press or one of those kind of prestigious shows. He's well known.
Like Charles Kuralt or something?
Somebody like Charles Kuralt, okay. But not him.
Is it Tim Russert?
It is Tim Russert. Very good.
Okay, I think it was on the Today Show.
It might have been.
Yeah.
And anybody guess on the non-political reasons why we have the designations we do?
No, but I'm interested.
Okay.
I
like the answer, so I got to leave it out there for our audience, and let's get back to our audience. Hello, you are on Minds Over Matter. Welcome. Hello.
Is that us?
It is us. Who is it?
Goodness, it's Bill and Melissa.
Hey, Bill and Melissa, how you doing?
Okay.
Are you the Gateses? This isn't Bill and Melissa Gates, is it?
No.
I'm just checking. I think he's a regular listener. I'm not sure, but go ahead.
No doubt. All right, let's see. Going to Kira's list.
Yep.
Oh, that's right. She says it's Melinda Gates. Yes. Oh,
thank you very much.
Okay. Yes.
Yes, I stand corrected. Sorry.
let's see. Rory's first kiss. Could that be Boys Don't Cry?
That is another really great guess for that title, but it is sadly incorrect.
Okay. On the list of admired people, does that include the Dalai Lama?
It does not, but that's an excellent guess.
Or Amy Semple McPherson?
Amy Semple McPherson is not on the list either. She might have died too
soon. Probably died too soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And what about Mahatma Gandhi?
Gandhi's not on the list either.
He died in 48.
Yeah, he died in 48. That was the year the poll started. So these, at the time of the poll, these would be living people.
Oh, okay, got it. And then for the callers' railroad cities, what about Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe?
Debbie?
None of them are state capitals.
Not at.
Sorry, Santa Fe is.
Yeah, Santa Fe is the capital, but that's not one of them. Good guess.
Okay, Melissa has a movie question for you.
Great.
Okay, changing paces altogether. The movie Hiroshima Mon Amour is about, I'm sure you all know it, it takes place in Japan with one of the main characters is French. And my question is, does anyone know what city she was from in France?
In the movie or in real life?
In the movie.
I can answer in French. No.
Anouk Ami was the actress.
Sure.
But I don't believe she's from this city. Anybody?
Should we know? Is it like Marseille? How about Marseille?
No.
All right. I'm just guessing wildly.
Someone's got to say Paris.
Right.
I'll say it. Paris.
Okay. She was from Nantes.
Oh.
Because she mentioned
it in the edict.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank
you. Yes, that very same note.
We'll give you a bell for your own question. Very good. Thank you very much.
Why, thank you.
Take care.
Okay.
This is Minds Over Matter. We are at 91.7 KALW Radio in San Francisco. And let's go to the next call. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hey, Tom.
Hi. Some guesses for the most admired people. How about Churchill?
Churchill's not on the list, surprisingly, perhaps.
Mother Teresa?
She is on the list. Very good. She was on 18 times, and then she passed away. Give you a bell on that one.
John Paul II?
John Paul is on the list. You got the two religious people. Very good. He was second on the list. 27 years he was on.
Okay, let's see. The state capitals for the railroad. You said it wasn't Topeka, right?
It's not Topeka.
No, okay. Sacramento?
Not Sacramento.
And Omaha?
Not Omaha.
All right.
Not a state capital.
Let's see. Omaha's... Oh, you're right. Good point. Okay, well, Lincoln, then.
Not Lincoln.
All right.
Which is a state capital.
Don't trust me. I think Baltimore's a state capital, though, so... Really.
Let's see. The... Rory's first kiss. How about 9.5 weeks?
Did you get that, Kira? 9.5 weeks for Rory's first kiss?
It is not. These are all, they all make an alarming amount of sense, these guesses for Rory's first kiss, and I'll tell you that the actual answer does not. So,
well, that's a good hint.
Oh, okay.
Since it's getting later in the game, I'll also add that one of the things that... one of the Oscars that Rory's first kiss earned was for was a posthumous Oscar.
Oh, well, it's not a Batman movie with Heath Ledger, I can't imagine.
It absolutely is that Batman movie with
Heath
Ledger.
Really?
Rory's first kiss is The Dark Knight.
Of course, how could we not?
Obviously. Of course.
Excellent.
There's only two posthumous acting Oscars, and I'm pretty sure Rory's first kiss isn't network.
Oh, that's right. Way to go, Tom.
Ah, thanks. And then how the solar system was won, that's not 2001, possibly, is it?
And yet it is. 2001, A Space Odyssey, was codenamed How the Solar System Was Won.
Way to go, Tom.
Excellent. Yeah, I don't know where I got that from. Incident on 57th Street, I was going to guess L.A. Story, but I'm sure that's not right.
No, that one is the BAFTA winner, and I don't know that L.A. Story did all that well at the BAFTAs.
Right. Okay, let's see. The question I got, what is... I got two questions regarding constitutional amendments. What is the amendment that took the longest between proposal and ratification?
27.
And then what... Yeah, very good. Yeah.
Very nice.
And then I'm sure this will be a quick one also. Of the first 10 amendments on the Bill of Rights, which is the only amendment that has not been used as an argument or used as a, has not been argued in front of the Supreme Court?
Quartering of soldiers?
Right.
That's still part.
Very good. Yeah.
Is that right? Is that the right answer? Oh, very nice. Way to go, Jeremy. Very good.
Awesome. Thanks. Great show, as always.
Thank you very much.
A little less great because Dana's missing.
I agree. But he's listening
in.
Dana's listening in, judging us probably, so it's working out very well. All right. Let's try to get... Kira, do you have a quickish question?
Sure.
Great.
It's a word question. I just want to know, real quick, what's interesting about the word happen chance? What is interesting about the word happen chance? I know that's not a terribly pinned question,
it's
but
fun,
that's fine.
Fun to say.
It's fun to say. But there's something more interesting about that than it's how fun it is to say.
Is it about its etymology?
Nope.
Something in its lettering, kind of a cryptology, kind of anagrammy thing?
It is something interesting about the word happen chance.
So you're not giving me a clue on the anagram stuff,
it's
right?
Not. It's not. It's not etymological. Okay. I will give you that.
But it's also not if we scramble the letters, we get...
If you put the letters in order, you'll notice every letter appears exactly twice.
That is true. That is what
I
was looking for.
Thing?
Yeah, every letter appears two times, exactly two times.
Is that the longest such word in English?
I believe it is.
I believe it, too. That's interesting.
That's good. All right. Very nicely done. Jeremy, you have a quick question?
Yes.
Go.
Let's see. What then-future Berkeley professor won the University of Michigan's 1967 award for best math dissertation with his work titled Boundary Functions?
So say the question again. I lost the
thread. What then-future Berkeley professor won the University of Michigan's 1967 award for best math dissertation with his work titled Boundary Functions?
And so this person became a math professor at Berkeley? Is that a bad assumption?
Yeah, he did. That's correct.
Is he also a Nobel winner?
He does not have a Nobel Prize, no.
Okay.
There's no Nobel.
And I've also spoiled the gender. There is no Nobel for math, but he could get econ or something, you know, like
you're right.
John Nash.
Sorry. My bad.
Well, there's another good reason he's not getting a Nobel. But
okay.
Anyway,
I think
go ahead, Lori.
I don't have it. I'm trying to think of all the Berkeley math professors I know, and I don't. But somebody in the audience will, so I'm going to go to the phones here. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
Hey, Lori. Megan in San Francisco.
Hey, Megan. How are you?
I'm well. Unfortunately, I don't know the answer to the math professor question, but I do have a question for you guys.
Okay.
In a little bit of presidential trivia, a number of U.S. presidents have also been leaders of different colleges and universities. I'm looking for two U.S. presidents who were also presidents of Ivy League universities.
Woodrow Wilson was Princeton,
Columbia.
Right?
And there you go. There's the two.
Sorry?
Did you hear them both? Go ahead, Jeremy.
Well, Lori just said that Woodrow Wilson was the president of Princeton, and I said that Ike ran Columbia.
Oh, you guys got that so quickly.
Yes, we did. That's a good
question. Could you toss a bell?
I will.
It's a good question.
It's a good question. We like it. Very good.
Quality.
Thanks, Megan.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Take care. Take care of yourself. Hello. You're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. This is Roland in Bernal Heights.
Hi, Roland.
Hey, I sat here on the phone and listening in mounting horror as all my answers fell one by one.
It happens. I'll give you a bell. I'll give you a bell for your fallen answers.
So, Buran was one of the ones that fell. So I'll ask you a quick question. Vostok, Sputnik, Mir, and Soyuz are all the names of Soviet spacecrafts. They're also perfectly good Russian words, perfectly ordinary Russian words. What do they mean?
Vostok means east. Mir means peace.
Peace and it also means world. It means world and peace.
I did not know that.
It's true.
Soyuz means union. And what was the other one you wanted?
I think you might have gotten them all. Soyuz, Vostok, Sputnik, and Mir. All right. Fortune cutter show.
Do we get them all?
Yep.
Very nice.
Thanks very much. Great show as usual.
Very good. All right, I'm going to give my short question here. This is from Sue Schweik. All of you, I hope, of a certain age, remember Alice's Restaurant and Arlo Guthrie. In real life, Arlo knew Alice. How did he know her?
She was his aunt.
No idea. They were not related.
Okay.
But it was I'll call it a professional relationship. Kira, any idea?
Nope.
It's a funny answer. We'll leave it out there for the people here. So this is from Sue Schweik. In real life, in Alice's Restaurant, how did Arlo Guthrie, back in Massachusetts, know Alice, who was somewhat older than he was and then became the proprietor of Alice's Restaurant and hence the song? Okay, very good. So we still have some time left and we'll get back to the phones here. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome to the show.
Hi, it's Steve in Vallejo.
Hi, Steve.
Hi. Some guesses on your Gallup poll. Nelson Mandela?
Nelson Mandela is on the poll. He was on 20 years in a row. Very good. One man left.
And Helen Keller.
Helen Keller's not on the list. I don't think she lived long enough to get on more than 20 times.
Okie doke. And I know Paradox was supposed to be the sequel to Back to the Future when it was going to be one movie.
That is correct. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, Back to the Future Part 2, Paradox. So thank you. That's Very well done.
Okay.
And then a quick question for you. Do you know who Michael Shannon, Victor, and Soichi are?
I know the actor Michael Shannon is, but I don't know what the rest of that was.
So say the whole question again.
There's four first names: Michael, Shannon, Victor, and Soichi.
And are we supposed to connect them somehow?
Yeah, they're very much in the news right now.
Oh, okay, so these are the first names of four people.
Yeah, it's Michael Hopkins. Michael Hopkins, Shannon Walker, Victor Glover, Soichi Noguchi.
And your question?
The relevant question would be, where are they right now?
In space.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just launched on the SpaceX
mission
to the International Space Station. I watched the launch live an hour ago or so.
That's nice.
On Buran.
Thank you for honoring them. That's great. Thank you, Steve.
All right. Thanks. Have a good night.
That's great. Next caller. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
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 Hi.
Hi, I'm Steve. I'm calling from San Francisco, not Vallejo.
Hi, Steve.
And
different
I was wondering,
Steve,
on your list of most admired persons, could it have been Walter Cronkite?
You know, he wasn't. He was on a bunch, but he wasn't on more than 20 times, so no.
Oh, okay, thanks. That's all I was wondering.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. Next caller. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Robert in San Francisco.
Hi, Robert.
Hi, is Bing Crosby or Bob Hope on the list?
No. In fact, in the men's list, there are no entertainers at all.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. How about Elizabeth Taylor?
Not Elizabeth Taylor either, sorry to say.
Is Arthur C. Clarke, there was a question about...
the science fiction MacArthur winner?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Octavia Spencer, correct?
Butler.
Octavia Spencer, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you. It's a list. What are the 10 easy steps to fascism?
And how many have we gone through recently?
A lot.
I assume the takeover of the press is one of them.
Yeah, right.
The takeover of the military?
It doesn't say military. This is according to Naomi Wolf.
This will be a hard list to get for sure. I don't know if these are necessarily factual. Jeremy, what do you have?
Yeah. I got nothing much. Something in courts and prisons and...
How about disrupting the elections or casting doubt on the election process?
Well, you know, this is why I brought this up, because not very many people remember Germany and Hitler's takeover of a democracy, and we're not that aware of the steps it takes. And so I'll read them to you. Control the press, invoke a terrifying internal and external enemy, create a gulag, develop a thug caste, set up an internal surveillance system, harass citizen groups, engage in arbitrary detention and release, target key individuals, dissent equals treason, suspend the rule of law.
Wow.
All right, so we're at nine.
Yeah.
Okay.
For those keeping count, yes.
At 11.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Thanks for your call. Okay, we can get in a few more calls, I think. Hello, you're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
Hi there. It's Sherry and Stephen, formerly of Berkeley and now in Sacramento.
Hi, Sherry and Stephen. You're our third Steve or Stephen, almost in a row. Welcome.
I don't have a question or an answer. I just want to say you guys are rocking it tonight. And if Dana ever retires, Lori, you're the bomb.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate that. And Dana, we don't want you to retire, but that's very nice of you to say, Sherry. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Uh-huh. Take care.
Okay.
Good night.
You take care, too. That was not a relative. Thank you very much. hello. You're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome to the show.
Is it me?
It is.
Well, this is Sacramento Slim.
Hi, Sacramento Slim. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Welcome.
I'll quickly say, was Oprah ever guest as one of the...
Oprah was not guest, and you got it all, Sacramento Slim. She's third on the list on 32 years. Very nice.
Well, I can't believe no one got her. I have a quick question here. Since you're on, it's a sport question. The current occupant of the house, White House, plays a lot of golf. So my question concerns golf. All the presidents since McKinley have played golf while president, except for three. Who are the three presidents who didn't play golf while president?
So the three.
I'm going to say FDR, maybe.
No, actually, he did play.
Oh,
early on in his tenure as president, which was quite long, but he did play while he was president.
Wow.
What about Jimmy Carter?
Jimmy Carter did not play. That's right.
Carter? How about JFK?
He played a lot.
Okay.
Notoriously, yeah.
Give us a hint, Sacramento. We're almost at the end of the show.
One of them had places named after him with Ville on the end. Ville.
Hoover. Hooverville,
Hoover.
Sure.
And the other one was a president because a president died in office.
Ford?
Johnson.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Ford wasn't it. Yeah, it's Johnson.
Are both good guesses. It's Truman. I know it's near the end of the show. Truman didn't play golf.
Very nice.
All right.
Thanks, Sacramento Slim.
Thank you.
We're at the end. We're getting close to the end of the show. So, Kira, what do you have left?
All right. So of my working titles, Incident on 57th Street, that is Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Changing Seasons is Oscar winner Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. And that's it.
Very good. How about you, Jeremy?
I'm still looking for what then future Berkeley professor won the University of Michigan's 1967 award for best math dissertation. With his work titled Boundary Functions, I'll give you a hint that he is definitely not a professor at Berkeley and hasn't been for a long time. In fact, he's been at the same address and hasn't left for quite a long time. It has nothing to do with COVID.
I think you have to tell us. We're getting to the end of the show.
Yes. Well, he's a well-known prisoner. He bombed universities.
Oh, it's the Unabomber?
He is better known for a manifesto. It is the Unabomber.
Ted Kaczynski, is that the name?
Ted Kaczynski.
Oh, very good.
There you go.
Debbie, you have the railroad question, yes? Hello?
Yeah. I have the states, capitals that have to do with railroads is Pierre, South Dakota, Bismarck, North Dakota, and Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Very good. And my questions are, the graphic designer at the New York Times decided that red should be Republicans as a mnemonic device. The R for red is the R for Republicans. And I will say that is how I remember them. And what was left over, the blue went to Democrats. In the list of the most admired Americans, most admired people by Americans, the missing two women were Margaret Chase Smith, who was mentioned 20 times, and Claire Booth Luce 18 times. And the male that we did not get was, of all people, Bill Gates, who's been on 20 times. So pretty impressive. Sorry if we didn't get to your calls, okay? But this has been a lovely night. I want to thank Kira Pace, technical editor, Jeremy Horowitz, cryptographer. I'm Lori Fisher, taking the place of Dana Rodriguez. She'll be back next week. Dana, welcome back. Good luck to you and Greg. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for your calls. Hope you have a lovely week and a lovely time. Take care of yourselves. Be safe. We'll be with you next week. Thank you very much. Good night.